Dan's Drive and Double Feature presents A Night to Dismember, Minute 3, Episode 10. Bloody October has begun. Susan is killing Bonnie with an axe in the bathtub. Let's get back to that, shall we?
Susan went berserk. And killed her sister.
Susan had accidentally fallen on an axe. She was dead. At 1:30, I received a call from Broderick Kent. He was grief-stricken. He said he'd gone on a one-day business trip the previous afternoon. He left his wife, Lola, taking her usual afternoon stroll in the garden.
Susan had fallen on her own axe. She was dead. And I think when I first posted about this podcast over on Facebook, I included a shot of Susan on her own axe. And it is gloriously strange. It's wonderfully goofy in the best possible way. It's pure Doris that she... And I do like they say she hadn't fallen on her own axe. She had fallen on an axe. Like there was a second axe in the house that she fell on. That's great. And who knows what happened to Phineas, her dad. But I just... That's... In the first 3 minutes, I think that's my favorite moment. It's just such a weird, and it comes out of nowhere, and you see Bonnie dead in the bathtub filled with blood, and then it goes to black for a second, and then it pops back on to Susan's face. She's on the ground, pans over to the axe, and it's like, joy. And then we go to the Broderick Kent portion of the minute, and I think all of this is from, I think, apart from one shot of the detective on the phone around at 1:30. You see the detective with the glasses on sitting at his desk on the phone. I think all the rest of it is outtakes possibly from another movie or even shots from another movie. I don't know which movie, but I do have some thoughts that I will give to you after we go through the minute a little bit closer. So this shot has about 14, 15 shots in it. Again, it opens with the axe going up and down, and you see Susan in her black wig and Bonnie in trouble, and like axe hitting a leg, axe hitting a hand, knocking it into the bloody water, and those sort of shrieks you hear on the soundtrack are the axe swinging down moments. So that's Bonnie dead. And then Susan dead. And it's great. We get our first full frontal shot with Bonnie in the bloody water, sort of floating on top of the bloody water, nude. Hey, there you go. It's Doris. 3 minutes in, we got everything we need from the movie. I do like that she keeps that music. You know the music. You'll hear it at the end of this episode. I like that she keeps the music playing throughout this killing. You think she would have used some of the creepier music. She uses it the rest of the minute. Around 20 seconds in is when we go to the Broderick Kent stuff. But she doesn't really use it during the killings. Susan had fallen on an axe. She was dead. I'm sorry. I think I want that. Dan had fallen. And I want that on my tombstone. Dan had fallen on an axe. He was dead. Could someone please make me that tombstone? Thank you very much. So we get the Broderick Kent portion of it. And Broderick, unlike Phineas, who seems to live in that big house, Broderick and Phineas, Broderick seems to live in a rather boxy-looking little apartment. And when you see his wife walking in the back, taking her a regular stroll, she's like in the middle of, like, I don't know, the forest, the jungle, or something like that. It's an odd juxtaposition of this guy in this boxy little apartment looking around and this woman walking in all this lush greenery. Now, Broderick, I recognize. We'll talk about that in a moment. And Lola, I recognize too. And Lola, I don't know if you've ever seen the shot of Lola taking her afternoon stroll, but it's basically a woman sort of with, red hair, very tanned woman with red hair. And she's wearing I don't know exactly what she's wearing. It looks like one of Chesty Morgan's, knockoff fashion from Double Agent 73. It's like a, it really does look like something from Double Agent 73. I'm looking at it right now, trying to figure out what it is. It's like, it's kind of pinkish, reddish, with white polka dots, and sort of there's like a ruffly thing all around the neck that seems to stretch down to her navel that has like it's pinkish red too, with like white stripes all the way going down it. But the thing about it is it's like it pretty much exposes her giant chest, and she's just taking this walk, and she's not completely topless, but she's more or less topless. And I don't know where she's walking, because they're in an apartment building, not like in a huge house, or maybe she's walking in the back. But it's just an odd way to walk around, and she looks a little dazed. And not only does she look a little dazed, but it's very out of focus, the shot, which makes me think this was probably the outtake from something else, not from this, not from Night to Dismember. It's probably an outtake from another one of her movies where it was just out of focus. And she thought, okay, well, it's out of focus, but it's an attractive woman with big boobies walking and almost topless, so let's use that, I guess. And that's sort of how the minute ends, with this woman in a slightly dazed look on her face walking. And of course, yeah, Broderick went away on the business trip. Now he's calling, I guess, Detective O'Malley. I guess it's sort of, maybe he's their own personal police officer or something. I don't know the Kent's own personal police officer, Detective Tim O'Malley. Why not? So she's walking in the woods, and now she's disappeared, and it's a little worrisome. And or does he say she's disappeared? I don't know we'll find out in the next minute exactly what's going on with Mrs. Kent, who should be on her afternoon walk, or maybe she is on her afternoon walk. We'll find out in the next minute. But so I looked into it to try to find where this might be from. I haven't seen all of Doris's movies. I haven't seen quite a few of the early nudie cutie. I haven't seen was a Hideout in the Sun, her first one, I believe. I haven't seen yet, which I feel terrible about. I have not seen Dildo Fever yet. I have not seen The Amazing Transplant and others. She got a lot of movies. I'll get to them eventually. So the guy in the apartment might be from a film I haven't seen yet. I do recognize that guy, though, like I said, and I do recognize the woman. I'm 90% certain I recognize the woman. The woman, I believe, is Cindy Boudreau, Boudreau, who plays Ginny in The Immoral 3. And she's the one that likes drinking and likes getting naked when she swims. And I won't go into more than that if you haven't seen the movie. But there is a scene in The Immoral 3 where, unfortunately, oh, maybe I know who that guy is. I mean, I just looked at Levi Richards. Does that make some sort of sense? That Levi Richards is Broderick there? Oh my gosh, he was in Devil and Miss Jones. Oh my gosh, wow, okay. He was in some porny stuff. Okay, all right. Well, there you go then. And so yeah, there's a scene in Immoral 3 where Ginny gets in an elevator and he's there, and they fool around together. You know, that it keeps stopping at floors, and they keep stopping what they're doing and looking. And it's just a brief scene where these two people meet in an elevator, have sex, and then go their separate ways. But I'm wondering if, you know what? We learn as we go. Levi Richards. I don't see that he was in any other Doris Wishman-related stuff that I know of. I wonder where that scene is from, because obviously Levi Richards was a prolific adult film guy from like 72, 73 to like 77, so he wouldn't have been around in the early 80s to come back and shoot this thing. I'm wondering what it's from, because I did a scan through Immoral 3, and the Ginny character doesn't wear an outfit like this in it. She walks around with like a thing, similar looking things throughout much of the movie, but not that. So I'm wondering, maybe that's her wandering around the grounds outtake from Immoral 3 that she couldn't use because it was out of focus. I don't know. I would love to know, but I'm not sure. We learn as we go. I didn't know we knew the name of the man in the elevator. But yep, Levi Richards. Wow, Levi Richards and Cindy Boudreau. Wow. Yep. I'd love to say that these are Immoral 3 outtakes, but maybe Maybe the... No, the man in the elevator is dressed differently. Okay, so, well, here we go. So we've got some footage here, which might be from Immortal 3, which might not be, but which is definitely not from Night to Dismember shooting. So that's kind of fun. You know, I'll do this as I can throughout the movie. As I said, I don't know what everything is that Doris is using. She's using everything. Maybe that shot with Levi in the apartment isn't even from a Doris film. Maybe it's from something else. I don't know. If anyone knows, please give me a shout. I am, I'm not as proficient with adult films of the 70s as I should be. Sorry. Now, adult films of the 30s. No, I'm kidding, of course. So that is minute 3 of A Night to Dismember. We got 2 dead, and it looks like we may have another one in a moment when she finishes her almost topless stroll. It's funny because they have this sort of that music playing as she's going the stroll. You think she would have played this music instead.